We had 3 weeks of pretty long services, so I am going to try to keep this somewhat concise. And part of my way of doing that is there's a lot of ways to bring God's word. One is through preaching the word. You can also teach the word, but I am hoping to simply bring a devotional. A devotional is a little bit more group and personal oriented. I'm not going to ask for participation other than your ears, please, and your mind, and more importantly, your heart to be listening to what God has given me to give to you. And so I looked up, the word devotional, by the way, is defined love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person, activity, or cause. And that's a devotion, to be devoted. Okay, so a devotion, I think, really is the best format for what I am speaking of today. Now, when I told Aaron a little, he asked about hymns. He didn't ask me what I was speaking about other than to pick out hymns. Do I have a Paul asked me for a title. I didn't have one yet. And when that happened, I don't even remember exactly what I wrote in the text. But don't say it, because I want this to be a little bit of a surprise. But I think he was like, ooh. Well, you did. He said, ooh, like that, real long. And this is a subject that could be a very big subject. I'm going to keep it small and personal and short today, because we had 3 long services. Let's try to get out of here a little earlier today. And so not that that's our purpose, but I just think it's somewhat needed. And so let's pray before we begin. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for the transforming power of the Word of God that took a sinner such as myself, Lord, who didn't know his left from his right, and made him one of your servants, one of your children, Lord. Even, Lord, getting me in front of people was a miracle that I look back on and still shake my head. So I thank you for this time. I pray that you'd be seen, honored, and glorified in front of me, above me, and Lord, instead of me, in every way possible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to start off with this new chapter in Grace's history, really in the future. We're looking to the future now with Aaron, by asking you, please, each and every one of you, to never come to church again. Aaron, you're shaking your head, yes. Aaron doesn't want anybody to come to church either. It's because he knows what I'm speaking about. I'm asking you not to come to church. And part of the reason I say that is to get your attention, because now you're wondering what I'm going to say next to recover from that one. But I want to ask you to stop coming to church and start being the church. And I ask myself that above all, because I find myself often coming to church and not being the church. There's a huge difference. Sometimes I wish we never, in the history of Christianity, named these things churches. We had some other name for them, because all it does is bring confusion to the outside world of what the actual church is. So my hope is to take the confusion that Satan wants to spread and sow throughout the world of what the church is, and at least in this room and maybe online or in any other way, try to dispel the myths of what the church is and our response to that, and becoming the church, not attending the church. And so Jesus, who is God, was God, and will always be God, became flesh, a person, so that we could love God. Do you understand? It's pretty difficult for me to love what I don't know, what I can't see, what I don't understand. But God made himself very understandable about Jesus. It says Jesus walked, he talked, he ate, he slept, he prayed, just like we do. So I can understand the person of Jesus, but God is pretty, I don't want to say this disrespectfully, I don't mean to, but he's in my mind, he's pretty out there. He's hard to grasp, it's hard to understand, but Jesus is not. And I'm going to make a connection with what I just said to the church and becoming the church as we move on in this devotional. But the question becomes, as a result of Jesus, who is God, was God, will always be God, the fact that he became flesh, a person, so that we could love God and know God, the question becomes, what's God's design for mankind to show our love to him, and what's God's design to show mankind his love to us? And so, what's God's design to show his love to us? What's God's design? What did he form? What did he build? What did he make so that the world could see his love? He made the church so that the world could see him. And he made the church so that we could, the other way around. God's designed to show mankind his love to us, but also that we could show his love to others and the purpose of the church. So be the church. I want to talk a little bit quickly about what the church isn't. The church is not an organization. It's an organism. An organization is not alive. It doesn't, you know, it's not a living thing. The church is. And so it's an organism, not an organization. It's also not plural. Churches. There are no churches. There's only a church. Now, we've named these buildings churches. Again, I said it's a bit of confusion, but in Tyrone, there is a church on every corner, a pizza shop on every other corner, and a pharmacy somewhere in between. And so there is not a church on every corner in Tyrone. There's one church. Now, I can tell you there's people in all of those churches who are not the church, and there's people in probably all those churches who are the church. And so I'm defining or trying to define the church by also defining what it isn't. It's not a building or a place. We talked about that. And let me explain this too. The church is not a cause. There's lots of causes in the world, goodness, causes that people are out for. The church is a living organism. It is a being. It's alive, and it walks, and it talks, and it speaks, and it thinks, all as one. And that is where we get when we come to the body. Now, I'm hoping that you guys, Ben, can keep up with my verses here, because I didn't really coordinate with these guys. Aaron has his technology. I'm lagging far behind. But I want to look at Colossians in 1:24. I want to start to talk about what the church is in a devotional kind of way and help each of us to understand in a better way what our posture should be as members of this church, as part of this body, and being the church, not simply coming to church. So Colossians 1:24, and I'm going to need these as well because I can't switch back and forth on my phone and I can't read real well without glasses. Reading glasses, so we'll let those come up. If somebody has, oh, there we go. Colossians 1:24, and then we'll go to Colossians. That's a good verse too, but then we'll go to Colossians 18 after this. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, which is the church. Now, there's a connection here, and it's not even two things that become, it's not two things connected together, it's simply one thing described in two different ways. We have the body of Christ, the sake of his body, okay, which is the church. So the church is the body of Christ. Now, Jesus, the God became flesh and dwelt among us. We're going to get to that. But he did it, and he was a body for 33 years, okay? But he was limited within that body. And now we have the body of Christ. And look at verse 18. It's his body. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. So Christ is the head of the body. We begin to see a formation of the body. We might not know what the rest of the body looks like yet, but we know at least what the head is. And the head is where you think. It's really what moves the rest of the body, okay? If you remove my head from the body, the hands can no longer cannot be told what to do. So as members of a body, as the church, we must understand that it's Christ that decides whether we raise our right or left hand, whether we pick this up, put that down, walk over here, walk over there, sit down, stand up. Every move that the body makes must be initiated by the head, or you're going to have trouble. You know, sometimes there are diseases. We live in a sinful world, and sin has allowed disease into our world. And there are diseases like Parkinson's, where the mind is not controlling the body anymore. And it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's a disease. It's part of sin in our world. But we want the body to move as Christ wants it to move. And Ephesians, we're going to be turning to Ephesians here and talking about what the body is. And we'll just look at a verse here too. Ephesians 1:22. The body, I want to use some verses to show that the church is the body of Christ. Wow, Ben turned into rich real fast. I just looked up and it's rich. I'm gonna see if you're quicker than Ben. If not, we're bringing him back. Ephesians 1:22 says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church." And if you could also do 5:23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior." And so he saved us to become part of his body. Purpose is beginning to form now within the church. He saved us to become part of his body. I want to move on and skip a few verses here. I promised you an early exit, and so the body also is growing, and I want to look at that. Colossians, we'll go back to Colossians 2:9. The body is growing. Now, this is something that should happen. You know, maturity isn't something we see when our kids grow up. Maturity isn't something we see physically, but it's still noticeable, isn't it? So the body not only needs to mature, but it also needs to grow. And remember, how many churches are there? One, it's not plural. The church grows. This particular church may not grow. We find in the Bible that Jesus will take his lampstand. He'll take his light in Revelation in different places. He'll take his light away from a church and put it in another church because that church is willing to move in the direction the head is taking it. But when the body is unwilling to move the head will just do a work in another place. And so Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And Ephesians 4:15-16. And so we should see growth within the church, and we'll see that in these verses. That's a little bit different version than what I had, but Ephesians 4:15. So the church is a body, and it's also a growing body. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Do you see how much of the New Testament, don't want to walk off the edge there. I have very sore legs, so if I'm walking, I ran 6 miles and I haven't ran forever, and now I'm very sore, yesterday. But instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. This is our purpose in not coming to church, but being the church, being a member of Christ's body. And So we have a body, it's a growing body, but it's also a loving body. This is very important. This may seem somewhat obvious. Well, of course, you know, we're of Christ and we should be loving. But what loving is oftentimes, I think when I read the Bible, things that seem obvious to me after I read the Bible becomes more obvious to me and becomes more powerful. And I hope that you get that from these verses. So Ephesians 5, 29 and 30. Ephesians 5, 29 and 30. And so after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they fed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. In 30, for we are members of his body. If you could go back to that 29, Rich, a loving body. For after all, no one hates their own body. They love their own body, and we should care for the body just as Christ does the church. Now, this begins to become a little bit practical. All of us need to feed the body, okay? All the members work together to feed the body. And so we show our love for one another in doing so. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26. Rich asked me if I had a list of all these verses, and I thought, boy, that would have been great. Wish I'd have thought of that. This is what happens on Sunday night when you're told. Actually, by the way, for Aaron's sake, Dan actually asked me to be, I'm next in line, we have a rotation. Dan asked me to be prepared long before you asked me to be prepared, okay? And well, the elders talked about it long before, and Dan asked me next Sunday for the purpose of this very thing, that after all of that, you may not want, and so that worked out good too. God works things out. So for 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers. Is honored, every part rejoices with it. We have had a discussion about my workplace, and it was a meeting that I had this past Monday. Afternoon, I had a meeting. I was trying to think of when it was. But in the meeting, we kind of defined, we have probably 80, 90 employees, and we defined employees. Dave, you probably find this too. We have employees, and I'll call them all good. They're all good employees. Otherwise, they'd probably be gone, but they're all good employees. But sometimes when a fire erupts in the workplace and it needs to be put out, there's certain people that just instantly feel it's their responsibility. Whether they created the fire, whether it's their department, they just feel a compulsion because they take ownership in the company that they work for. And I don't mean ownership in shares, but they just feel like this is my job. And we all need to work together to put out these fires. But we also have employees who do very, very, very well that when a fire erupts, they're like, oh, who's going to do something about that? Or I didn't create that fire. It's not mine to put out. And we have different types of employees that way. In the church, it's different. In the church, every suffering that takes place within this church, everything that hurts this church hurts every single person in this room because you wear the face of this church wherever you go. When somebody comes up to me at the supermarket and says, So-and-so, you go to Grace Baptist. Yeah, I met so-and-so, and wow. You know, I'm just like, if they were offended by somebody else, I now feel like I offended that person. I do. Do you ever feel that way? You just take it on yourself. You bear it, and you shoulder it. And so, that's kind of a hard thing, but it's not a bad thing. It's a wonderful thing. My kids are a reflection of me. I hope they behave when I'm not around. And when they don't, I take it on myself. It's my fault. I take the burden of responsibility of that. So a loving church is that way. And the body should be a growing body, a loving body. And finally, it should be an equipping body. And turn to Romans 12 verses 6 through 8. Romans 12, 6 through 8, Rich. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. The next verse. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. The next. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I want to say this. If you are part of this church, if you are part of this body, and you don't have a place, we are missing something. Because God has given you, I'm looking at every single person here, God has given you something He has not given anyone else in this room, the ability to do the way you do it. And without it, we are less. We are not whole. Every member has a talent, a purpose, a gift, a reason that God placed you here, and you need to find it. If you're young and you're a teenager, you are not learning so that you can someday serve. You are a member. You don't reach, you know, we had some people join the church because of the right. Joining the church, by the way, Grace Baptist Church, so that you can vote in the church has no parallel to what I'm speaking about today, by the way. You don't reach an age. You become a member. A six-year-old who has faith in Christ should be living as a member and an important part of this body. It does not function without them well. And then finally, Ephesians 4:11 through 13. Ephesians 4:11. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. The next verse. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. The next. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And again, oh wait, we are reading the wrong verses. I just realized that 11 through 13. I started to think, I actually read those verses thinking of this, but I did not include those. It's 11. Through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attending to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so all of us are important to equip this church. You can't be a fully equipped church if one member is not moving as the head is telling them to move. And I guarantee you, if you are a true child of God, God is speaking to you all the time. And sometimes he's speaking to you by not speaking. Because you want him to say something and he's like, I'm not saying that. That's what you want. You are being spoken to today from God's word, and he's asking you to stop coming to church. And he's asking you to become the church. Now, there's a whole big price series of sermons about going out and being the church. I'm not going to get to that, but I want to make one last connection as we close. How do we become the church? John 1. We're going to read through 14, Rich. John 1, 1. To members who've been active for some time, these might seem, well, these are familiar verses, but I find familiar verses speaking to me in new ways. I think sometimes the most familiar verses speak to me the most, even as a more mature Christian. I'm not there yet, but I'm hopefully at some point getting close to there. I have a lot of growing to do, and so I read these verses not as I've read them so many times I know what they are saying, but as they always have something new to say to me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Let me stop there for a second. We're not going to turn back to 1 Colossians 1:18, but it says he's the head of the body in 1 Colossians, and it says that all things consist by him. All things consist. That word consist means held together, bonded, glued together. They're held together. Do you know scientists do not understand why I don't fall apart right now? They don't understand why atoms and all the things that make us up, there's nothing between them hooking them together. There's no Velcro, no knots, nothing there holding us. They don't understand why wood, what makes wood, all the little tiny things that we know about, doesn't float apart. It's held together by something, they just haven't defined it yet. But 1 Colossians 1:18 says all things are held together by Christ. The whole universe is literally, physically held together by Christ, who is the head of the body. So through him all things were made, without him nothing was made that has been made, verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, speaking of John the Baptist. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world and through the world. Though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came unto his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. The body of Christ, the members, with Christ as the head, is all meant for the purpose of Genesis 1, that God wanted a family. Why did he create us in his likeness and nothing else? In his image. And created us in his image. Why did he give us the choice to sin? How could you love somebody and show your love for somebody without the choice to not do so? God's purposes in the Bible is because he wants children. He wants a family. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, verse 13, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, connect the dots. Jesus was the Word. God made the Word into a physical body. God allowed the Word to become flesh. That body left us, but sent his Spirit that we should be made the body. That the body is held together, in 1 Colossians 1:18, held together, consists by him. He is the Word. Therefore, we are now to be the Word of God, made into a body to save the world. What can you do to become the church? Become the Word of God. We learned in Revelation that the New Jerusalem, after all judgment is passed, and God sets up his eternal world for us to live in eternity with him, he had a New Jerusalem descended from heaven. It had already existed. It had ascended from heaven to the new earth, and Jerusalem, the city, began. And it even says in there that the New Jerusalem took on the characteristics of its inhabitants. We take on the characteristic of the Word made flesh when we're in the Word of God. If you want to do anything for Pastor Aaron as a person, but more importantly for God as a child, you need to be in his Word. It is what's transforming. Nothing will move this church forward more than a saturation, an immersion into the Word of God. I challenge you. How many of you are on Facebook? Okay, I can't log in. I don't even know what my login is. So anyway, do not spend 1 minute more on Facebook than you do the Word of God this week. I reached a point one time where I thought, I'm not going to spend more time running than I spend in the Word of God. Okay, so I stopped running. No, I didn't. I did stop for a little while, but I'm back at it. And so that's hard to do. But I don't want to do anything more than that. No, I understand we have jobs. It's hard to spend 40 hours a week in the Word. But the truth of the matter is you can, because he sent another, a comforter. He left physical body, 33 years old. He died. He could only speak so loud. There weren't microphones and TV back then. He could only reach so many people. So in his death, he was able to send his Spirit into all of us to make a much greater and bigger, a louder and more visual presence of who he was. As you begin to become the individual member of one body, which Christ is the head, the body begins to stand up to the world. It begins to take form. Its face, its head is seen, its hands, its love. Everything that God is, the church is to portray to the world. And nothing will accomplish that faster in this church than an immersion in the Word, because the Word and the Spirit, Christ and God, are one. And that's our channel. We do not have him physically here with us. Fortunately, we have him spiritually here, which is a much greater thing, because we are able to, he is able to accomplish his purposes in greater ways than he ever could being here in a human body. And so that's what there's so much more to this topic, but that's what I wanted to try to encourage you to do, is if you begin to read the Word of God and you have no direction other than that, you will find a direction pretty quick. And God will begin to speak to you. But it has to be daily. There's a reason the Bible says morning, noon, and night. There's a reason that we live that way. You might not be able to open your Bible 40 hours a week, but you have verses that come to mind. You have thoughts of the Word all the time. You're seeking the head in his direction all the time. That's immersing yourself in the Word of God. It's not always a book in front of you, but you can't have those thoughts without the book in front of you, transforming you. So it's my request that you stop coming to church, start being the church, but to accomplish that, immerse yourself this week. Give yourself a goal of 1 week and see what happens next week. Do it again and see what happens the week after. Come back in a year. The greatest growth this church ever had was the year following, where we were trying to get the entire church to read through the Bible as a series. Pastor Roy did it quite some time ago. But it took us from that 90 up to like 150 thing quick. And that's the very beginning when we started talking about building a church. We couldn't talk about that with 90 people. With 150, we started to talk about it. And so it's time to grow. It's time to equip. And that I find when I'm in the Bible regularly, I have answers for people that I don't have when I'm not. And God removes my lampstand sometime from me, and giving me ministry opportunities. So let's pray. Father, I just pray that as you, Lord, have called a servant, a new servant, to this body, Lord, to this local part of your body, Lord, the church of Christ, the body of Christ, that we would each, at this very moment, seek you and ask you, what is my purpose here? How can I become the church, Lord, and stop just coming to church? Lord, how can I immerse myself in the Word of God? Sunday school, small group, devotional app, so many opportunities we have, Lord, if we would just take them. I pray that this church would, work that you have here, Lord, would become our own, that we would feel that we bear the responsibility of growth and of maturity and of a proper reflection of who Christ is to this community, that we would all get involved, Lord. I pray, Lord, for us to find those who don't feel they have a place here, Lord, that we would pour over them and love them and help them to understand that we need them. We're incomplete without them. I just thank you for this time that we had in your word, Lord. I pray that we'd continue throughout this week. I pray that as we go out, we'd begin to speak to others, Lord, where I was, Lord, lost in sin, no direction, no satisfaction, Lord, that we might give the living water to those, Lord, who thirst. I thank you again for this time. I thank you for Pastor Aaron, Lord, and congratulate him even in this prayer, Lord, not as that he accomplished something, but rather that you called him to something. And just thank you for him, and thank you for his family. I thank you for those who came to celebrate with him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.